So this morning, what we're going to do is we'll carry on from where we started last week. And last week, we started looking at a series that I called Living Life at Your Best. Living Life at Your Best. And I think one thing I mentioned last week is it's not a motivational speech, because I think when you go on YouTube sometimes and you see this topics like living life at your best, it's like, man, this sounds like one of these like motivational things that say things like, yes, you can do it, you can make it. This isn't one of those, by the way. I just wanted to put a PS there in case someone is listening on the internet subsequently. So what do I mean by living life at your best, or living life at my best? I'm talking about not living life on autopilot. Now, what do I mean by not living life on autopilot? We can get to the point where life has dealt us so many bad hands. It deals us good hands as well. But that life has dealt us so many bad hands that we just subconsciously, without realizing it, just give up and go with the flow. And our lives become, I wake up in the morning, go to work, have lunch, come back, sleep, press repeat. And before we know it, day after day, night after night goes, and it's 1 year later, it's 2 years later, it's 5 years later, and you look back, and you can't really remember anything significant to you that you've achieved. And you're now wondering, all these things that I had planned to do, all these dreams that I had when I was growing up, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that, where are they? So, we're looking at how we can live our lives in such a way that every day, every week, every month, we can look back and say, yes, at least I've done all the things that I've always wanted to do. And my life hasn't been on autopilot. So we started looking at that last week. And what we looked at last week was the fact that life is tough. So that was what I spoke about last week. I said, life is tough. And that's one realization that we need to come to terms with. I think I was thinking about my son, my daughter, and like all the young folks that I come across. Mr. Ugo, sorry, can you just reduce this a bit? It's feeding back a bit. And I was just looking at them almost with a kind of like sorrow in my heart, but not a bad sorrow, because they're like, man, these guys don't know what's waiting for them outside after university, after college. And I'm like, man, these guys, you know, by the way, just carry on. These guys like roll out of bed at 10 in the morning. I'm like, oh, what am I doing today? I think I'm going to have breakfast in 2 hours. And they cover the sheet whilst they're on holiday, by the way. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, there are wolves out there. There are bad people out there. There are good people as well. Maybe it's my instinct as a parent. But on a more serious note, I'm like, how are these guys going to really be able to face life, the life that I see outside? And mind you, I've seen a lot in my time. I might not look like I have. But I've come across people that just want to hurt you. You get what I mean? Anyway, we'll put that aside. So what I just said last week is that life is tough. But Jesus said something in John chapter 16, verse 33. We don't have to turn there. He says, realize, I'm paraphrasing, that life, in this world, you will have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, don't stress yourself out. Jesus didn't say that, I'm paraphrasing. I'm with you. So that's what we spoke about last week. So I'm just going to fast forward to this week. I can send the message to you if you want to hear the audio. This week we're going to step further. And we're looking at something that I believe is very close to each and every one of us. So I've called today's topic, still under living life at your best, controlling your emotions. Controlling your emotions. And you might be like, man, what does controlling your emotions have to do with a Sunday morning? A lot. So I'm going to look at a number of points. But before I go through the points I want to mention this morning, I'm going to read two stories to us, two extracts from the Bible. The first extract I'm going to read is about a man called Moses in his early days. And I'll read Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, talking about Moses. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Let me give you the scenario, right? Can you imagine that? After the service, right, this service that we're having, I take a walk outside and I see maybe Sister Giuliani at the bus stop there, and someone is like being really rude to her, and someone's saying, "Hey, get up from there, get up from there." And I say, "What? You're doing this to, you know, my sister?" And you know what I do next? I just look left and I look right. It's like really early in the morning. There are not a lot of people around. I just look left and I look right, and I strangulate the guy at the bus stop and throw him in the bin. How would you feel about that? That's what Moses did. He was walking. It wasn't premeditated. Got this guy, was, you know, upsetting one of his other brothers, and he strangled him, killed him, and just hid him in the sand. Why did Moses do this? He was angry. He was angry because he was like, hang on, you can do this to me, but you can't do this to my brother or my sister. You can do this to me, but you touch my kids, I'm going to come after you. And he literally killed this individual because he was angry. Do you understand? I'll read another extract here as well, from Judges chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. It's talking about a man called Samson. He said, when he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now, get her for me as my wife." His father and his mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or amongst our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She is right for me." So what was happening here was this. Samson grew up and he saw this woman, and he went to tell his parents, he said, "Look, I've seen this woman. That's the person I'm going to get married to. Make the move," and all that. And his parents were a bit concerned, and they said, "Hang on, don't you think you should reconsider her?" You know? And when you now fast forward into Samson's life, you know, a couple of years later, this same woman shaves off his head, organizes for him to be captured and to be kidnapped, basically ruins his life. What happened here? What was the emotion here? Because we're talking about controlling your emotions. In the case of Moses, he was really angry, and anger drove him to do something that he wouldn't have done normally. In this case, it was love. It was love that drove Samson to marry this woman with all the red flags showing. Love just blinded his eyes. And all the people around him were like, you know, you might want to like take it easy here. And he said, no. This is what I'm going to have. So this morning, I'm going to be looking at controlling your emotions, but I'll focus on those two emotions because those are the ones that really, that we experience a lot. I remember when I, talking about love, when I met my late wife and I saw her, in my mind, there was nothing anyone was going to tell me. I was like, this woman. Someone is giggling there. Did that happen to you as well? I won't look in your direction. I said, this woman, forget it. And reflecting now, I was just imagining that if someone came to tell me at that point that, you know what, we're a lot younger then, this woman that you love so much, I'm not quite sure. I know how I would have felt. I would have been like, you know, I don't think I want to hear that at all. So what am I saying? Our emotions can really get the better of us or get the best out of us. So how do we control our emotions and why should we control our emotions? We'll look at a number of things. The first thing I want to say is this. The first point I want to make is this. If we don't control our emotions, they can get the better of us and force us to make decisions that we would necessarily not have made. So am I saying emotions are bad? No, I'm not saying that. So let me just go through one or two things here about our emotions and why we should, you know, really put them under control. There was a man, I read a story about a US general. We're talking about love and anger here. There are loads of other emotions that people can have. I'll leave you guys to fill in the blanks. But you guys all look so, you guys don't get angry or any of those things, so it probably doesn't apply to you guys. So there was this man, this army general in the States, highly decorated general. I think maybe it was like a 3 or 5 star general or something. Outstanding, very well known. And there was this woman that came to him and he was married, he had retired, he had a wife, kids, grandchildren and all that. And this woman came and said, oh, let me write your autobiography, I'll help you, you know, with that. Fine. And she started to write his autobiography. She spent a lot of time with him and all that. And before this guy knew it, in quote, he fell in love with this woman. You know, this is a guy that he fell in love with this woman and he started a relationship with her. Destroyed his marriage of over 50 years. His children upset. In fact, it was such a big deal that I don't know what the army said, it was in the States. Highly disappointed. What drove this man there? His emotions. I remember there was once I was working in this office. This was quite a long time ago. And at this office, there was this, well, I was looking after a couple of people in a section. There was a colleague of mine that was looking after a group of other people. And we used to meet once in a while. And this guy was always on my case. Always on my case. He'd be like, oh, wow, you're not doing that right. You're not doing this right. And, you know, being a good Christian, I just said, you know, no problem. I'm just going to let this guy off and just carry on with my work. But this guy kept on and on and on and on. And I came to work one day and he started again. Do you know what I said to myself? I said, God, can you just excuse me for, true, just 5 minutes, God, just 5 minutes. Immediately I said that, I just burst out and I lashed this guy. I was like, and the guy was shocked. He was like, and he was paralyzed. Well, not paralyzed, he was totally shocked because this was me. This was anger over about maybe 6 months or something. So I let the guy have it. The guy was totally shocked. Then he apologized and apologized and apologized and all that. I said, no, I don't want to, don't apologize. You're blah, 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 blah. You know, I carried on till I was satisfied. Then the guy left. Then I just heard a whisper in my ears. Wow, that was a really good telling of Pastor B. God was speaking to my heart. And at that point, I just said to myself, my goodness, this is just not it. Can you imagine if maybe one of you guys were there and you were there? You'd be like, man, oh no, that has to be someone else. That can't be Pastor B at all. I was boiling. Another story, then we'll look at a number of points. When we were living in West London, there was a church that we were attending. This was about 20 years ago. And part of the church went to a prison called the Scrum, the Scrubs or something in West London, to sing like prison ministry stuff. And I didn't go. When the guys came back, the person who was leading the singing told me a story. He said when they got to prison and they were singing and all that, there were a couple of young people there. And he got talking to a young man there. And he asked the guy, he said, "Hi, I mean, what's up? How did you get here?" And the guy said, "Look, there was a guy that I had an argument with. It became a heated argument, and I punched the guy. The guy slumped and died. That's why I'm here." Life. So why am I saying all these things? I mean, these are extreme examples that I'm giving at the moment. You know, I don't think we're going to kill anybody. But how about our relationships as well? Where, I remember another time, I'm always telling these stories. Again, with my late wife. Early days, I think we had been married for about 2 years or something. And back then, I was like a gunslinger. Do you know what a gunslinger is? You guys are not Americans. A gunslinger is someone that reacts straight away. So then maybe she says one thing, and I should have just responded calmly. I'm like, "No, that's a gunslinger. That's when you shoot from the hip." And I was always doing that. You know, what, you know, I don't know. I think is, and my blood has been diluted. I'm not like that anymore. So I was like really no nonsense person, and like, nobody was going to tell me anything. And I was a believer. You know? And there was a time that I was so annoyed, and I was going on the train in West London. I don't know what, we had an argument or something, and I was boiling, I was furious. And I heard a whisper in my heart, and I believe it was God that was whispering to me. And the whisper was, "Why are you annoyed with your wife?" And you know what happened, which was really strange? I now thought through, and I said, "Do you know I don't know why I'm annoyed with her? I can't even remember what the argument was." 10 minutes later. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because these emotions that we have, some extreme, some not so extreme, if we don't deal with them or control them, they can affect our relationships, they can push us to extremes that we don't want to get to. Do you understand? So it's really important. Now, saying that if we want to live our best life, did I say our best life? If we want to live life at our best, we want to experience life in a manner that is not solely driven by emotions. We don't want to be driven by anger all the time. We don't want to be driven by fear. We don't want to be driven by things that just drain our lives out. And at the end of the day, it's like, man, I'm like, half of my time is just like being upset with people. We can't live our lives that way at all. So, I'm just going to mention a number of things quickly. How do we deal with our emotions? How do we deal with them? The first thing I want to mention is this, that will bring relief, I think, to us. Our emotions are normal. What do I mean by that? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." So the first thing is this. Whatever emotion you feel, anger, fear, whatever, is valid. Even God was saying here in the Bible that you can be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. Meaning that our emotions are normal. We're not robots. God hasn't made us robots and, you know, someone does something to us and we can't even feel it's like, hey, I'm just going to, you know, press Pastor Benson's hot button. And you don't feel anything at all. If you don't, I'm not saying you as in here, then there's something wrong. So the first thing is that our emotions are normal. Our emotions are normal. Can you just look at the person who's sitting next to you and say, your emotions are normal. You can be angry. You can be angry if you... your emotions are normal. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. So, that's the first point. I'm not saying we should just say, oh, I can never be angry again. I can... No. You'll be angry tomorrow. Do you get what I mean? Or maybe you might even be angry later on today. And that's fine. But the Bible says, even though our emotions are there, because we're human beings, we need to control them. It goes on to say, but. It says, you can be angry, but it puts a but there. It says, don't let it extend till the end of the day. Which means, yeah, you will be angry sometimes. You might feel fearful, but you need to control it. So that's the first point I want to make. So the next point is this, and I think I made that earlier, saying that one reason why we need to really keep our emotions under check is that they can trip us up. Our emotions can either push us into a life that is really stressful in ourselves, or a life that is stressful with others around us, or a life that is just pleasant. So, our emotions can trip us up. So we need to control them. So the last point I want to make is this. If I'm saying all these things, that our emotions are normal, but they can trip us up. So the third point is, how do I begin to control my emotions realistically? How do I do it? How do I begin to move towards the place where, yes, I might experience certain emotions, but I'm going to make sure that those emotions do not push me to a place that I don't want to go to. How do I do that? I'll give us a couple of pointers here. So the first thing you and I need to realize is this. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It says, I'm paraphrasing, I keep my body under, lest after I have preached to others, I myself, I am disqualified for the prize. So the first point I want to make is this. You are not your emotions. You are different from your emotions. So this portion of scripture, Paul was saying something, Paul the apostle. He said, what I do is I keep myself under control. So he's talking as if his emotions and his body are separate from him. When I mean separate from him, in the context that, look, you are you and you have emotions. So your emotions are not you. I don't know how to explain this. So say, for example, I have this phone. This is my BlackBerry phone that a lot of people make fun of me about because I'm still using BlackBerry, but that's another topic. So this is my phone. This phone is not me. Do you understand? I can put this phone in my pocket. I can put this phone in my jacket. The Bible is saying that something here. It's saying that you have emotions. And even though these emotions are in your pocket, these emotions are not you. You have control over them. So what that means is there are times that this phone will ring when I'm not expecting it to ring, like someone just rings me on this phone during the service. What do? I pick the phone up and I switch it off. So the first thing we realize is that our emotions are separate from us. They are emotions, but they're not you. Do you get what I mean? So what that means is that you can control them. So that's the first thing we see here, that your emotions are separate from you. A few more points here. Now, the second point is this. How do we begin to really take charge of our emotions? Realizing that, look, I can control my emotions. My emotions are not necessarily me. They're things that are part of me. So the second thing is this. Being self-aware and taking responsibility for our emotions. Being self-aware and taking responsibility for our emotions. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. is talking about the prodigal son. This was a guy that left home and, you know, just went on his own, left his father, left his family, and just went wild. After a while, he said this in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. So this guy came to a point where the Bible says he came to himself. He became self-aware. He took responsibility for his actions. Now, how does this relate to us as the second point in dealing with our emotions? I believe we need to come to the place where we take responsibility for our emotions and for our actions. What do I mean by that? Do you know we can say to ourselves, that person was the one that annoyed me. If they hadn't spoken to me in such a rude manner, I wouldn't have responded that way. So it's their fault. Or I can say, well, I'm going through a really tough time, so I'm a bit snappy at the moment, and everybody should know that. By the way, that's how I was born. Everybody in my family is on the edge. That's our temper. We have a temper in this family, and you just have to live with me that way or forget it. No. That will not get the job done at all. It won't. So, what does that mean? That means if someone comes to me and they really annoy me, I haven't done anything to them, and they just pick a fight with me, and they begin to say a lot of things to me like, you know, Pastor Benson, you're this, you're that, whatever. And they're being extremely rude, and they become even slightly aggressive. I can respond in a number of ways. So if, for example, I respond in anger and I'm like, what? You're talking to me like that? I've just come back from the States. And, you know, and I give it to them. Later, I can say to myself, they deserved it. If they hadn't spoken to me, I mean, I was going about my business and they just came and they were talking to me in such a rude manner. If they hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been angry. That's why I'm angry. These people are always pushing my red button. They're always, you know, I mean, can't you just realize, can't you just behave yourself and all? That's not going to get the job done. The second point I'm making is me coming to terms with myself, sitting down and saying, yes, this person has pushed my red button. They were really rude and all that. But why did I react that way? Why was I really angry? Let's leave them aside. Why was I really angry? Was I angry because I felt that they didn't value me as a person? Was I angry because I just felt embarrassed the way they were talking to me amongst, you know, in public like that? Why was I really angry? It's just like, for example, you have like a... There was this guy, Ryan, that in the morning, newly married guy, maybe married 1 or 2 years, and in the morning he saw his wife, kissed her, honey, I'll see you later, I'm going to work, and he went to work. She went to work as well, and he came back. Nothing happened during the day. And as he stepped into the house, he noticed that his wife was being a bit, you know, down and all that. And he's like, hello, dear, how are you doing? You know, how was work today? And she says, don't talk to me. You've never, this doesn't happen to any of you. You've never, ever loved me. I've known right from the start that, you know, you don't really love me. You don't really care about me. This is the wife telling the husband, you don't really care about me. In fact, I'm not even quite sure. I'm sure you didn't even really want to marry me. You don't love me. And the husband is like, whoa, what is happening here? And he's wondering to himself, he's like, hang on. When I left home, what happened between when I left home and when I came back? And he's wondering, he's like, I can't really process what is going on here. What is happening here? Do you get what was happening here? Meanwhile, everything now calms down. And do you know why his wife is telling him all that? Do you know what? Well, in that scenario, she just felt that this guy hasn't been paying a lot of attention to me, and I need you to spend time with me. So instead of just telling her husband, "Dear, you haven't really been spending a lot of time with me. Can you just take a break? Let's spend time together." That's what's on her heart. So she bursts, and that's an example, I'm not saying. She burst out in anger, not because she needed to be angry, but it was something that ticked her off. She probably thought, look, this guy doesn't, you know. So what am I saying here? Dealing with our emotions, we need to be honest with ourselves and sit down and say, why am I so angry? Why is it that when my wife says, we have a little thing, I'm so angry with her? And you're thinking, what did she say? She just said, dear, can you pick up that pair of shoes you left by the door, please? And you're like, what? Pick up a pair of shoes? As the guy, you need to ask yourself that question. Or as, you know, why am I really angry? Leave the person aside. And I believe that as one is honest with oneself and say, look, I'm just an angry person. That's it. It's not, I know people take me up, but I'm just an angry person. That is the point that one begins to really deal with it. That's the point. If we look at love, for example, we've looked at anger, that's a bit extreme. There's some people that is like, look, I know some guys that they're married, but anytime they're out, they, you know, they look at women and they're like, you know. And I'm like, guy, sit down. What is really happening here? And be honest with yourself. And some of them will say, my I meet all sorts of people in my time. Some of them be like, my wife is this and she's not that. And I'm like, leave your wife out of this. Ask yourself the question, why are you doing this to your marriage? Why are you, my wife is, I said, no, leave your wife out of this. Look at yourself. Why are you doing this? And at the end, they look inward and say, man, I'm just the guy that's just, I haven't got it all together at all. So what am I saying? I'm saying as the second point that dealing with our emotions, I know I'm mentioning some extremities here, but it applies to the little things as well. To say, look, we have to be realistic and look inwards and say, look, leave the other people out of it and look at yourself. And I'll look at myself and say, why am I so ticked off? Then I believe at that point, one can begin to identify how one can like really deal with one's emotions. A couple of points and I'll stop. The third thing here, I have two more points, a couple of points here. The third thing is from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So the third point that the Bible begins to say is that, look, let's assume that you've now come to terms with the fact that there's an emotion that you're dealing with that is not, you know, it's out of control. And you admit to yourself, how do you begin to deal with it? The Bible says we should begin to guard our hearts. What that means is looking at the things that you expose yourself to, the things that you read, the things that you really focus on. Do you know, I was watching a film a long time ago, and this man was talking to this girl, and she got annoyed, and she punched him. Do you get what I mean? Why are you laughing? I hope you don't punch people like that. And she punched him. And do you know what came to my mind while I was watching that? As a Christian, I was like, serves him right. Good punch. And like, I was like, hang on, what did I just say? I said, yeah, serves him right. So I was now like, to myself, you know what? I need to stop watching these kind of films because I think I don't want to get to a point where someone says something to me and instinctively I punch them. Do you understand? So what did I do? I said, I'm just going to leave this film alone. I'm not going to watch this anymore because I don't want to punch up anybody. And you're like, oh, that's an extreme thing. Do you know that if you go to a riot, like there have been some riots around, and there was this riot I was watching on TV, and there were passerbys. These guys were just going, and this guy was talking in America, and he was talking, and this guy said, okay, I'll listen to hear what this guy is saying. And this guy began to talk, and he's like, yes, you've been oppressed. They're like, yeah, we've been oppressed. You're not going to have this anymore. Yeah, we're not going to have this anymore. And before you knew it, the gentleman that was going about his business began to chant, yeah. What happened to that what happened to that guy? He didn't guard his heart. So the Bible says that we should guard our hearts. So if you know that there are things that contribute to to creating or making your emotions particularly sensitive, then step away from those things, the Bible says. One or two more points and we will end. The next one that I just want to mention is from Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. So Jesus told Simon, he said, look, I preached on your boat. Just, you know, throw your net out and catch fish. And Simon said something to Peter. He said, look, we've been fishing all day. I'm sure in his mind, he'll have been saying, Jesus, you're not a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. I've been fishing here. There's no fish here at all. But Simon said something, Peter. He said, and that word was loaded. Although I don't really want to do this, but because Jesus, you have said it, I'll do it anyway. And he chucked out his net and he got a lot of fish. Now, what does that have to do with us? And what does it have to do with controlling our emotions? It has to do with us because we need to come to the place where we decide that, look, irrespective of what my emotions are saying, I will choose what the Bible says I should do. If the Bible says I should respond with soft words, when someone, you know, says something to me that I should respond aggressively about, I will respond with soft words. Do you understand? So it's saying to ourselves that, look, I will put my emotions under, and irrespective of how I feel, I'm going to do what the Bible says I should do. Jesus was carrying the cross and he was going down the road, and people were abusing him. They were saying, hey, that guy's a criminal. He's, and all sorts of things. I bet you that Jesus had probably healed some of them. He had probably helped some of their moms, fed them and all that. And they were saying this to him. Jesus could have just snapped his fingers and fire would have zapped everybody. But what did he do? In his pain, in his anguish, I don't think it was easy for him. Do you know what he did? He brought himself under the word of God and responded with love and said, Father, forgive them. So the fourth point I'm making is this, in dealing with our emotions, is beginning to realize that when those emotions come, we're like, yes, I feel like punching this guy's face. I feel like really giving this person a piece of my mind. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to back down. And what will begin to happen to us as we take that course of action is we begin to rein in our emotions gradually. Gradually, and all the things that would normally trip us up will trip us up less and less. Play for me there. So I'm going to stop here this morning. So the point I'm making this morning is, as we decide to live life at our best, we must come to the place where we, one, realize that our emotions play a big part of our lives. They play a big part in our lives. They can take us to where we don't want to go to, and they can also, you know, really make life interesting for us. So this morning, I just want us to rise and just to pray. I remember a long time ago that in some of my relationships, my emotions had so caused problems that it was just the relationship, some of the relationships that I had were broken. People didn't want to talk to me. I didn't want to talk to them either. And even for people who were close to me as well, it was a point where I was like, is this what life is about really? Does life have to be, why can't we just be cordial? We can be. So this morning I just want us to pray that God will really help us with our emotions so that we can live lives that are not, you know, stressed out, lives that are not just heated all the time, as God helps us with our emotions. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to pray this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you because you realize that we're human and we have emotions as well. But you have said that we have the ability to put our emotions under so that they don't take us to where we don't want to go to, so that they don't ruin our relationship, so that they don't, you know, cause us to just live lives that are stressed out. Father, we ask that you will help us. Then I want us to pray that, you know, we have relationships that are really strained because it's been really heated. We want to ask that God will help with those relationships, that he will bring calm back into those relationships, that we will begin to experience peace with the people that we love, that we'll begin to experience tranquility where there has been stress, where there has been anger, where there has been like just strife. God can bring healing to our relationships. So let's just ask that God, every relationship that I've, you know, that has gone sour, help me. Bring peace. Bring healing back into these relationships, Father, I pray. Father, we pray this and we ask this, oh God. Bring healing back to our relationships. Help us to live life in a way that our emotions just don't take over. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Father and our King, we just want to thank you. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you because you've given us the ability to really take hold of our emotions. Father, I'm just praying for everyone that is here and even those that are not here, that have had strained relationships because of the way we've responded through our emotions. I'm asking that you bring healing back to those relationships in Jesus' name. I'm asking that even as we go forward with life, that you will help us to control our emotions. You will help us to have better relationships with us, with the people who we love and with the people around us. Father, this I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.